Good morning. Good to be with all of you. I'm only in week four, so but I've had most of my last 4 weeks have been with our clients and with our engineers and with our scientists, and it's been such a joy to see what's possible. I'm going to start with this picture. This is a picture of the Kármán line. The Kármán line is the outer edge of the atmosphere. It's about 100 kilometers from here. So you are at this moment closer to outer space than you are to the Hamptons. That thin layer is why we live. The last 4 years of my life, I was committed to understanding everything that happens in that atmosphere because we could change it. We could change it because of cloud computing. I closed 14 data centers and moved the entire model to the cloud because it could scale. And we could change it because of sensors. We could collect a lot more data. And we could provide data to everything that the weather affected, every plane. 220 airlines depend on us to say go, delay, abort. So it was our fault. But you're here, and safety is most important. Every truck, every logistics, every field, every retail outlet could benefit from that. So we rebuilt those models in a way that worked. And in fact, it is massive scale. 100 terabits of data are ingested every day on the weather platform to understand what's going on in the atmosphere above 2.2 billion locations, and on an average day, 15 billion, on a peak day, up to 26 billion requests to calculate a forecast at a given point in time. It's a lot harder than what Google did mapping the Earth, which they did for mobile as well, because it's moving all the time, and the atmosphere and the oceans that feed it are hugely, hugely, hugely unstructured. So we did a lot of things, and before that, my Akamai life, it got me always interested in AI, because I think that's how we're going to crack some additional code. We're imperfect in this. And it also taught me the importance of platforms, that all the hundreds of thousands of sensors that feed us and the billions of people that use us form an ecosystem and a platform that grows. And there are tens of thousands of other companies that build businesses on this as well. And of course, at Akamai, there were hundreds of thousands, if not millions of companies that built on that platform. And that's what I bring here. And the reason that I was excited to take the mantle from Mike Roden, who did such an awesome job getting Watson going, was to now bring that thinking to take it into a platform. So I want to be clear what I mean by that. First of all, why IBM? We are not the only people doing this. I have great respect for the couple of other companies on the other coast that focus on AI and deep learning, but there are reasons why I wanted to be here. First and foremost, trust and security are key. At the basis of artificial intelligence and machine learning is the data. Many people have worked for decades and put billions of dollars of their shareholder money into their data. It has to be protected. There has to be a knowledge graph that is for all, not a knowledge graph that's privately owned. We can make both of those things happen. We have the brand, we have the trust. I'm thrilled about blockchain. I think it's essential that people can have their data protected. Blockchain is not just about Bitcoin and currency. It's about every asset can be protected with this. Secondly, this company has domain expertise. There's deep industry knowledge. That's important. We have to know what we're doing. You can't do something as critical as health or as important as commerce and not understand it, not have deep, deep domain expertise that can help us scale. Thirdly, the way our expertise learns is the way an enterprise learns. It is, as John said, a combination of public data and private data. That's what's gonna create value for businesses, economic value. We don't just solve this for our own account. We don't just solve this for our own business. We solve this for all the businesses of our clients. And lastly, it's hard. It's hard to learn this. I think I'm going to work a lot on simplifying it, making it accessible to developers. But our GBS business is essential. Companies need help doing this. Cognitive, to me, at this moment in time, is where the internet was when I first started at Digitas in the early 90s. It's a great idea. It's very first inning. Having a services arm that can help bring people onto it is going to be awesome. And these things, I think, are unique to us. And it's why I wanted to be at IBM and why I was thrilled to take this on. We can create this market. We can create this platform in a way I don't think the others who are focused on this will. They'll do parts. We'll collaborate. We'll see each other. But I think we're going to be the ones that create a market and create economics on this. How we're doing that is, as John said, I think about Watson as a service for the platform part of it. The data I'm not going to go back over, except to say again that trust and security is essential. I am focused on turning it into APIs and basic developer tools so it scales. I'm very excited to serve our big clients at IBM, but Watson is also the front door for hundreds of thousands of other companies that don't work with IBM yet. And this is a great place for them to start. We see a great interest in what we're doing in companies of big and small all over the world wanting to make this happen. And as we build simple tools for their developers to use, they come. And I don't think these are just developers at startups. I think those are great. We've got tens of thousands of developers already in companies of all sizes. Businesses have developers. Many businesses are in applications for their customers. For them to be able to work with us, for this to be a developer platform, is going to bring an entirely new ecosystem into IBM at scale. And so we're focused on that, and I'm going to talk about two models. There are things that we build ourselves. There are things we build specifically with clients, and there are things that partners build on our ecosystem. And so those applications, to me, are how we measure the success of the platform scaling. And again, it is first inning. It's growing. The ecosystem partners grew over three times last year. The clients that are using Watson did grow another 72%. The pipeline continues to be very strong. Let's talk about two of those. First one I want to talk about is Inno360. I'm very excited about this partner because they, in turn, are bringing Watson to lots of other big, important companies making important decisions with AI. I can't do it justice, so instead I asked the co-founder and chairman of Inno360 to come out here today and share the story directly, Mike Tirillo. Mike, thank you. Thank you very much.
David, thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here, not only to talk about Inno360, but more importantly to explain to you why our relationship with Watson is not only confirming some of the visions that we had for this particular company, but is actually manifesting itself in a lot of the projects that we're working on together and independently with our clients. A little bit of background about Inno360. It's a very young company. It's only about 6 years old. It was formed by the former chairman of a major digital media company, the chief innovation officer of one of the world's largest consumer goods companies, a distinguished science research and developer, a visionary, an author who has 4 bestsellers to his credit, and a scarred chief knowledge officer. I had the title CKO, and one of the young salesmen, I call them young, said, "What does CKO mean?" And I said, "It means chief knowledge officer," and you show how soon that has actually evaporated. And I tried to convince 165,000 professionals in 135 countries that they actually work for the same firm. And what they really should be doing is trusting each other as they collaborated and shared information and created new intellectual property. And that knowledge was something to be shared and not something to be hoarded. And what we then did, the 6 of us, is we then aligned ourselves with 3 blue chip companies, and we spent 18 months understanding what it meant to develop a collaborative, we didn't call it cognitive at that time, we're only 6 years away from that, a collaborative innovation environment. We had a major consumer goods company, again, think of all the products that come out of consumer goods, a major food company, and a major defense contractor and a defense association spending $4 billion a year, not only for NASA, but for federal defense and others. And together we built this environment that was looking at the way in which you defined an innovation gap and solved for an innovation gap that may be a problem or an innovation gap that may have been an opportunity that was just a thought, but through the process and through our platform, you brought that opportunity into the real world. What we also did is we found that we were dealing, as both John and David have spoken about and Jenny did earlier, the difference between structured and unstructured data. We wanted to make sure that we could look at both, we could interpret both, and we could harness the power of that content, that data, with what we refer to as talent pools. Individuals with inside the organization, those that are tangential to the organization, and ultimately those that are around the world, and bring them together into a trusted ecosystem. And that's what Inno360 actually basically does. If you look at the clients and you say, well, this is a relatively young firm, and it is, and it's relatively small, and it is, but let me describe to you who it works with. If you were to look at our logos of the clients that we have today, you would be struck by the fact that you're going to see Unilever there, the world's largest consumer goods company, and Procter & Gamble, number two. If both of those companies, extremely competitive, have found an ecosystem that they both can work and collaborate on and provide the ability to look at their innovative solutions, then you have to understand the integrity and the way in which that particular innovation intellectual property is maintained and a way in which it is actually shared among those companies. If you also look at that particular chart, what you will also see associated with it is large diversity. You'll see companies such as BASF, Lockheed, Johnson & Johnson. You'll see Disney, Coca-Cola on there. Very diversified companies. Companies that are now helping Watson learn what those particular verticals are. Interestingly enough, there are 40 of those clients right now. 15 of them are number one in their particular vertical. And if they're not number one, they are number two or number three. Why did we do that? We did that deliberately because if we couldn't work with the world's leaders to manifest incremental change and impact change, then we probably wouldn't be able to do it for the rest of the world. As proud as we are of what we do, what really has happened in the last 10 months for us is our association with Watson. What Inno360 has been able to do up into our Watson relationship, and I'm going to explain to you the before and the after, is we were able to articulate with a client the innovation gap, the solutions that might solve that particular innovation gap, and then provide an execution strategy against it. What Watson allows us to do now is to look at that same innovation gap in a cognitive way and also look at some of the predictive associated opportunities that are associated with it. What we were able to do today with Watson is something that we were not able to do just 8 or 9 months ago. We have 7 of those 30-some APIs already embedded in our platform, which is a lot for one platform. Our clients who have been introduced to Watson through this particular application are demanding more Watson every single day. We have another 7 that are already lined up for us to bring onto this particular platform. One of the things that is also manifesting itself beyond the APIs and beyond the technologies for a company such as ourselves, a platform on a platform, if you will, is our ability to associate with IBM's Salesforce and its brand. What we're able to do is for ourselves is create a situation, because of our association with the credibility of IBM and Watson, our credibility to our clients, as you're going to see with this before and after, is much stronger. Our ability to go deeper inside the client and broader against the client has been able to go much faster. We started off with an entry point into the R&D groups. We have now moved from R&D to marketing. Why? You take a company like Procter & Gamble that says in its Pampers division, I want to put more absorbent into Pampers in a way to distinguish it from Huggies, for example. As soon as the R&D guys start focusing on the chemistry, they bring in BASF, who is their chemistry supplier, and say, work with us on this platform because we have to find the right chemistry. As they're working on the chemistry, they say, packaging needs to be involved because we're going to change the packaging. They call Midwest Fago, world's largest packaging company, their supplier. Now they're in the collaborative environment. And now you've got BASF, Procter & Gamble, and Midwest Fago collaborating together on how to do this. Bring in Watson. They're no longer just looking at what is available to us today, they're beginning to think about what's going to be available tomorrow. And not only that, but what are the consequences of us particularly adding this today? The other thing it does for us, it gives us a lot more confidence in what we're doing and therefore more confidence to our clients. So let me describe to you Watson today with us and what we looked like before. So typically what would happen is we would go and see a client, and 6 or 8, 9 months later, we would be able to cause that client to create a proof of concept with us. Now, they were doing two things at that time. Not only were they critiquing the credibility of the platform, but the credibility of us. Now, with Watson and IBM, that's down to 3 to 2 weeks, 3 weeks to 8 weeks. Why? Because we are now associated with credibility, integrity, scale, and size. We're able to take those proof of concepts into organizations much more quickly. A specific example. With a major chemical company, if we were to have a typical interchange, it would have been two of us and maybe two within the client. We would have had a meeting and they would have been successive. When we went with IBM, it was still two of us. IBM was to be able to bring six resources, providing different skills, different capabilities, and different competencies among those six. And they assembled 30 inside the organization that would have an interest in and a need to understand what we were collectively doing. We then were able to close that proof of concept in a matter of weeks. The pricing, and this goes back to a point that Jenny made and John made in terms of where's the money, where's the value creation here? We typically start off by creating the platform with a change to the look and feel so it is consistent with the client. We align it with the policies and procedures. We provide the rules and the responsibilities so that we can access the content. We access about 8 or 9 billion pieces of content every single day as we look at these particular applications. And then we also associate the performance and the permission rules that are associated with the individuals that get to see and to get to work on this particular data. And we charge a price for that. But what happens with Watson, we're doing many of the same things, but with Watson, we're adding more value to those things. The client is able to see that value easily, not only at the time in which we prove it, but at the time in which we are prescribing that we're going to do it, and therefore our price is going up twice of what it was. Our cost is basically the same. So the incremental difference is the value that we're bringing, not the resources that we're bringing. Once we have that proof of concept, it typically would take us 6 months to move that proof of concept into a multi-year license. We've never lost one yet. The difference now, it's now 1 month. Why is it 1 month? It's 1 month because the client was not only evaluating our platform, but they were evaluating us. Are you still going to be here? Do you actually have the resources? Can you actually do what you're doing? So that valuation has changed dramatically because we're able to leverage the credibility, the branding, the support that we get from IBM, which is positive to both of us, because what happens for IBM, as David mentioned, there are many of the same clients, but we're coming in through different doors and bringing IBM into people that they don't necessarily talk to, and we're also bringing them into new companies, and obviously IBM is doing the same for us. And then the big one is, now that we've got this relationship, this multi-year license, the real value impact, as you can see, is in this last one. We would typically start in a major client like BASF, for example, or Unilever, with maybe 100 or 200 seats in the R&D department. And then over time, we would start bringing in marketing, probably add another 15 seats, another 20 seats, and that would be wonderful for us. With IBM, we start off with 2 or 3,000 seats. Why? Again, IBM's ability to justify its ability to commit to the resources, the ability to show that we can actually scale. And our platform is extremely scalable, but far more so with the ability for Watson. One of the things that we think that this partnership brings to us, and I've done a lot of corporate partnerships, and those of you in the realm, most of them fail. One of the things that we have demonstrated to each other, IBM and Inno360 over the last 8 or 9 months, this one works. Not only does this one work, this one has got phenomenal potential because we are actually partnering together. What Inno360 is doing is addressing is what Alvin Toffler would have called in Future Shock, if you will, the disruptive technologies impediments early on. Can you trust it? Does it really work? Can you really get the collaborative environment? We get all of that out of the way so the client can really see the power of Watson, not only what it's doing, but the potential of what it can do. And once that dynamic takes place, that synergy takes place, what we're finding is that we have become the platform for the entry of Watson, and we also together have become, I like to describe, as the stepping stone for both Inno360 and Watson into this cognitive era. So that's exactly who we are and what we're doing and why we're so excited to be working with David.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let me just wrap up quickly. There's so many great stories I could tell. What you see in a story like Inno360 is the amplification and the leverage of taking this out through others. We also have places we're doing great services assignments like Woodside in Australia, which does oil and gas exploration, taking a lot of waste out of that system because they can find decisions quicker. And when billions of dollars are at stake and you need an answer as to how you get birds off your rig, the last time we saw this was 11 years ago when Watson finds it in 3 seconds. It saves you a lot of time and money. So our clients are making more money on this. What should you expect of me as I work for you on Watson going forward? I would say I'm going to focus on 3 things in the platform with our team. The first is the science. Within Watson, our colleagues in research, there's a tremendous commitment. Yes, Watson can see, it can watch, it can talk, it can listen. We have to work on tactile, we have to work on smell. It can do things that really help understand all this information and bring in all the unstructured data to make better decisions. Secondly, I'm going to focus on simplification. We have really smart people. We have awesome technology. If you're going to get lots of developers, it has to be easier for them to use. I've done this before. I think it's going to be really important that we be a simple, accessible platform. And we'll be that so that developers in our clients' companies, the developers in our own company, and the developers in our ecosystem can all use Watson. And then thirdly, it needs to scale. There's great scalability out of that. Making this all work on an awesome cloud platform, making the tools all simple and accessible, are going to continue to scale it both from a usage standpoint and from an economic standpoint. Because as we bring more people to the ecosystem, the marginal contribution is tremendous. It's early days, but I'm very, very excited to be here and very excited to work for you over the next several years building out what I believe will be the defining cognitive platform and the defining platform for computing in the next era. Thank you.